chapter 4. There is a song that goes with this passage of scripture that you all would know. I'm not going to sing it for you because I'm not supposed to sing. I'm trying not to. I do every now and again anyway. But anyway, you know the song, like the woman at the well. Remember? And you can finish it. I won't make you finish it. But that's what we're looking at today is John chapter 4 and how Jesus approaches the woman at the well. And how when she walks away from this encounter, truly Jesus is all the world to her. So much so, by the way, that it's amazing what God uses her to do. John chapter 4, let's begin verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Father, we ask that you would help us today to allow your word to speak to us. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, may today they recognize just how desperately you love their soul and desire to give them the wonderful gift of eternal life. May they respond to the gospel today and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. For those of us who know Christ, I pray that you would challenge us to follow the example of Christ and to be the witness that we ought to be. And Father, we will thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I were to title this message, it would be Making Something Ordinary into the Extraordinary. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is going to do what everybody does virtually every day of their life. He's going to sit down, get ready to eat a meal, and have a drink. That's what he's going to do. I'm guessing that everyone here today, at some point today, you're going to sit down, you're going to eat something, you're going to have something to drink. That's what Jesus is about to do. In fact, it's about the sixth hour. It's about, in Jewish time, that would be noon. It's time to eat. And Jesus is, that's what he's going to do. In fact, the Bible literally says that he sits down for this purpose. He's tired, actually. And let's just go on out. Samaria, let's talk about Samaria real quickly. Samaria is an unusual section of the country here in which reside mostly what the Jews would refer to as half-breeds, as half-Jews, half-Gentile. They're Samaritans. And the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along really well. They struggled with one another. They both claimed to worship the same God, et cetera, but they just struggled in the way that they would get along. The Samaritans really focused primarily on the books of Moses and kind of ignored the prophets. And so what's about to transpire here, that terminology is going to have some significance in just a moment as we look through the rest of this passage of Scripture. You know what happens as Jesus goes and meets this woman. I want you to think about this for a moment, how you and I as Christians, those of us who know Christ our Savior, how we might this week take an ordinary opportunity, an ordinary circumstance, something you're going to do anyway, and turn it into an opportunity to share the gospel. That's what Jesus does. He takes, and everyone sitting here this week is likely to eat, but beyond that, you're likely to go out someplace shopping, or you're going to go someplace and buy an ice cream, or you're going to be someplace out there where you will encounter someone who might possibly need the gospel. That's where you and I are going to be. This is not rocket science. This is not something that only a select few people can do. Now, I'll grant you that there's one point in this story that it's definitely unique to Christ that you and I are not going to be able to reproduce this week. But the rest of this story, other than that one part, because we can't read the hearts and minds of people that we don't know, having said that, the truth that he's going to share with her is a truth that we do know and we can share, and I'll show you that in just a moment. So just think about that. What could I do? How could I prepare myself? How could I take an ordinary moment and make it into something very unusual for the glory of God? Let's take a look at that. We're going to go on in verse 5. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. There's still, by the way, a well there that's called Jacob's well. We don't know if it's the exact one, but that's by tradition. It's still this well. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. That is an amazing thing, by the way. We'll just skim over this, but look what it said. Jesus being, what was that word? Wearied. Jesus, the Son of God, 100% God, but also uniquely so. We can't explain it. We can't understand it. We accept it by faith. 100% man, was tired. And being wearied, he sat down on the well. And this is about the sixth hour, verse 7. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. The disciples went out to get lunch, right? He sent them out. Go to McDonald's, bring us back something to eat. I'll sit here and drink something from this well. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, first of all, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Now, there's a lot of things happening here that just should not be happening. Jesus is a Jew. She's a Samaritan. They don't get along. Jesus should not be talking to her. Jesus is a man. She's a woman. And they should not, by the prescription of this community they live in, be talking to one another. This is unheard of, that the master would spend any time dealing with this woman of Samaria. She was not, by the Jewish definition, considered worthy of his time. Now, I am not saying to you that Jesus felt that way. I'm saying this is how society was defining it. You know what Jesus felt? Jesus felt that she was important enough to stop, have a conversation with, share the gospel with, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So while society felt this way, Jesus did not. And so here's this woman. She's like, I can't believe that I'm a Samaritan and I'm a woman and you are talking to me, that you're having this conversation with me. But Jesus goes on. He says, then saith the woman, how is it that thou being a Jew, verse 9, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would give thee living water. Now, there's a couple things that happen here. I want us to catch this. If we're going to learn how to take the ordinary and turn it into an extraordinary opportunity to do something for the Lord, then we need to learn the wisdom of Jesus Christ. It might be notable to see what Jesus did not say. He did not say, sit down, shut up, you wicked sinner, and listen to what I have to tell you. He didn't. Now, he could have said that, and everything he would have said would have been right. She needed to sit down, be quiet, and listen to him because she's a wicked sinner. That would have been right. He could have said, you're bound for hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell for all eternity. And he would have been absolutely right. But that's not what he said. What Jesus does is to put to use another phrase that Jesus is famous for, to be kind or as a serpent, and wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, right? Now, Jesus has a truth, and he needs to get this woman to stop and listen to the truth that he needs to tell her. And this truth is not going to be easy for her to accept. She's going to tell you in just a minute one of the reasons why it's hard for her to accept this truth. Two of the reasons why it's hard for her to accept this truth. And it is an amazing thing that to begin his conversation of the gospel, Jesus simply says two things. If you knew who I was, and I'd give you water that's living. Just throws it out there. I mean, honestly, the conversation could have ended, right? She could have said, whatever, gotten him water or not gotten him water. I mean, the conversation could have ended. What Jesus did was made a comment that kind of forced her to stop and think, well, I wonder who he is. And I wonder what this water is. And I think sometimes you and I do a really good job of chasing people away with the gospel. Because what we say might be true, but we've not presented it in a way that is encouraging them to actually want to know more. The real truth is, she's a dirty, rotten sinner, wicked, on her way to hell. That is the truth. And by the way, there is a truth about this woman that Jesus knows This is the part that you and I wouldn't be able to reproduce this week. That honestly, beyond the fact that she's a Samaritan, and beyond the fact that she is a woman, she is a woman living in sin. And she's a woman with a stain on her reputation that many would say, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Many good fundamental Baptist Christians would walk past this woman because of all that she was. And Jesus doesn't do that. He also doesn't beat her over the head with what she already knows, that she's guilty. He doesn't beat her over the head with it. He allows the Holy Spirit to do a work. And so he throws this information out there. Hey, if you knew who I was, if you knew what I could do, you'd ask me for something to drink, and I'd give you living water. Verse 11 says, and the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. Now, this is huge. This is another little bit of difference for you and I, but thou hast nothing to draw with. You know why Jesus didn't need anything to draw with? Anybody guess why Jesus didn't need anything to draw this living water with? Because he is the living water. That's exactly right. He is the living water. He didn't need anything to draw the water with. And so she says, you have nothing to draw the water with. It's kind of an interesting way that she begins this. And the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Wow. Now, this is a wonderful thing because Jesus simply opened up an opportunity for this woman to either say, I don't want to hear anymore, or to pursue something. Now, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, what I want to do right now is I want to get you to ask some questions in your heart. And I want you to think about what the living water that Jesus is talking about might be and what it might do for you. I want you to think about these things. This is what this woman does. And so Jesus kind of sets up a scenario in which she either has to ignore him completely or ask a question. Now, if you can ever get somebody to this point this week, if you can get someone to ask you, tell me about this living water. Man, you've got the opportunity to share the gospel. And now it's someone who's willing to hear. It's not someone who is forced to hear. There was a years and years ago, when I say years and years, it was in my lifetime, so not that long ago, but years ago, there was a group in our nation. I won't name names. I have more to do than preach against other people. But they taught a soul-winning course, and I went to it. Independent Fundamental Baptist group telling us how to win souls. The first thing they said to do is to establish physical contact. What? Now, at the time, I'm listening. I'm like, I'm a new Christian. I want to know how to lead people to the Lord. The first thing they said to do is establish physical contact. The reason being that people struggle to just, it's rude for someone to pull away. And most people, once you've established physical contact, they won't leave until you let them go. Okay, have we figured out that the difference between trusting the Holy Spirit to do a work and trusting me to do a work? Right? I have nothing to do with this, right? This is not my job. And my job is not to establish physical contact. You don't even see Jesus doing that, right? That's not the job. And so, this concept of let's establish, no, what Jesus did was let's simply give them an opportunity to respond to the light that we've given, right? And if they want more light, we give more light. Jesus said, if you knew who I was, and if you knew the water that I could offer, you'd be asking me for a drink. Now it's up to her. She's been given some light. She's got to decide what to do with it. She responds, this week, as you and I are trying to take an ordinary circumstance and turn it into something extraordinary for the glory of God, then I would encourage you to look for some of those conversations that would force that person to make a decision early on. Do I want to continue in the conversation or not? And if they open up the door to continue, now you have a great opportunity. You know what? The Bible says that the gospel, this message of the cross of Christ is an offense to lost people. We already know that the message we have to offer is offensive Because our message is, you're a sinner and you need to be saved. It's offensive. And so we already know we're about to offend them. We don't have to beat them up with it. Jesus doesn't. And so she says, you know, sir, tell me about it. And he goes on, verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now look at what it says. Our father Jacob, the Samaritans, are related to the Jews. They're Jewish people, not considered true Jews by the other Jewish people. Our father Jacob, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall, what's that word? Never thirst. Can I just interject something here? What you find there is a simple illustration of eternal security. Once you've drunk of his water, never thirst again. What a great thought. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, notice, Jesus hasn't answered. He hasn't filled in all the blanks yet. He's just giving her a little more. It's up to her to respond. I'm afraid sometimes that you and I are in such a hurry to get someone to the prayer, that same group would say, now once I've established physical contact, I want all of my questions to be yes or no, and I want to then change the question so that it's always a yes. You never want to ask a no. So you would like to go to heaven, wouldn't you? Well, who's going to say no to that? And by the way, this same class that I took literally said, start nodding. Answer for them. Hello. Again, I'm saying to you, walking in the flesh, walking in the spirit, which one is depending upon the Spirit of God to do a work? This is not the Spirit of God. You don't want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven, don't you? Yes. I mean, of course you do. So you start asking questions. If I could show you how you could know Jesus Christ, your Savior, would you like me to do that? Yes. I've still got a hold of him. Yeah. And I'm not making this up. They would claim that they went out over the weekend and led 10,000 people to Christ. Now, if that was the reality, then there would be one major area of this nation that would be nothing but Christians. If they're doing that every weekend, and that wasn't the case. It simply was not the case. Jesus doesn't do that, and I would encourage you and I, as we're looking to make an opportunity out of nothing, so to speak, out of just eating, which everybody's going to do, then follow the example that Christ gave. So he simply says, you know, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again, and it's springing up into everlasting life. Then the woman, verse 15, says unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come to draw. Wow, I mean, he's proverbially got this woman eating out of the palm of his hands, right? I mean, she is now begging him, please tell me about this great water. Now, I'll grant you, this is Jesus, but this is Jesus, 100% man who got weary just a little bit ago, got tired, empowered by the Spirit of God, giving you and I an example, leaving you and I an example of how we can walk in his steps. And when the Spirit of God is in us and working through us, it's amazing what can begin to happen. And that's what Jesus is showing us. Yes, he's Jesus, but he's also a human being showing us what the power of God working through someone looks like. Goes on. By the way, now for the first time, she really sees this water. I want the water. The value of this water is impressive. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. This is the part that we could not duplicate this week. I'll grant you, I don't know the secret lives of everybody that I talk to. But here's the part of it that I can duplicate. What Jesus is about to do is to show her why she needs a Savior. Why does she need a Savior? Because she is a sinner. Now, I may not know all the ins and outs of everybody's private life, but you know what I know about everyone that I'm going to talk to this week? Everyone is a sinner. Everyone. I may not know all the intricacies about it, but I know that everyone's a sinner. And that's not rocket science. And so here's Jesus. Go, call thy husband. Have him come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast, the guy you're living with now, isn't your husband. In that, thou hast said truly. Jesus is simply pointing out to her, listen, this is why you need what I have to offer. Because your life is a mess. Do you know anybody whose life is a mess? Do you know anybody who needs the gospel? Do you think that this week you and I will come across someone who without the gospel will die and go to hell for all eternity? Do you think that this week we will have an opportunity to take an ordinary circumstance and allow God to make it extraordinary? And by the way, could I point out, this would be extraordinary if the only thing that happened was that Jesus got the chance to share the gospel. Right? That's extraordinary. What makes it even more extraordinary is her response to the gospel. So now Jesus says, you know, you have truly said. Verse 19, the woman says, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now remember, the Samaritans, they clung to the first five books of the Bible, but they ignored the prophets. This is one of the ways that distinguished them in their worship, and you'll see another part of their worship in just a moment, that distinguished them. And now she says, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Not only has she seen now the value of the water, but she's beginning to see the value of the water being Jesus Christ. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And with that, she sees her need for the water, which is really a big deal. Our fathers, verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Our fathers did what? If I could point out, it seems to me, as you're looking at this, that this woman, we might consider her a religious person. She says, hey, we worshiped in this mountain. You know, this is what we do. Our father Jacob, I mean, she's staking claim, and she might be considered by those around her, even though you and I look at this and say, wow, she's obviously a sinner. She might be considered by those around her to be not such a bad person. She understands about worship, and she understands about some of the things of God. She has a little of the understanding, but she knows nothing of the gospel, nothing of the Savior. And she's learning. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. He says, yes, it is true. You're involved in worship. You are religious. It is true that you do have some beliefs. But what you believe, you don't even understand. You worship, but you don't know what you're worshiping. Jesus is really just going to help this woman to understand the fullness of the gospel here. She sees now that the water is a good thing. She sees now that she has great need for the water. Her worship is messed up. Her life is messed up. She is a sinner. But the hour cometh, and now is, verse 23, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Now listen, she does know. In America, we're about 50-50 now, honestly, from what we're understanding from statistics. We used to, you could go out and mention the name of Jesus and everybody knew who you were talking about. We're about 50-50 in our society now, partly because of immigration, partly because we're a secular society. We're no longer teaching the principles of the Word of God. Our public schools used to teach the Bible. It was in their curriculum. Not that long ago, 100 years ago. But now, it's a totally secular teaching. And so, there's a whole generation of people who've grown up never hearing about Jesus in America. So this is 50-50, but she understands. She says, I know that there's a Messiah. I know that he is Christ. This is what she knows, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now we come to it. She's recognized that the water has a great value, that she has a great need, and that he is the need filler. Jesus is able to show her, yes, you need a Savior, and I am the Savior. He started out by just simply getting a drink. He started out by walking up to the counter at McDonald's and saying, I'll take a Diet Coke. That's how he started out. And he turned the ordinary into an opportunity to do something extraordinary by sharing the gospel. Now, I want you to see what's even more spectacular. Jump down, if you would please, to verse 20 or 39. Verse 29. Let's do that first. Verse 29. The woman leaves and she says, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now jump down to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Why? For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And verse 41 says, and many more believed of his own word. This woman went out and started telling everybody. And many believed because she told them. And those who did not believe because she told them, many of them came to hear Jesus himself and then heard. And it might be that you would turn an ordinary circumstance into something extraordinary, and you might actually get to lead someone to Christ. Or it might be that you'll take an ordinary circumstance and turn it into something extraordinary, and they may simply come to church to hear more. But I can guarantee you one thing, that in heaven today, this woman is in an honored place. Well done, thou good and faithful. She went out and told many. And many of those believed because of what she said. Now Jesus takes an ordinary thing. I'm going to just get me a drink. And turns it into something that changes a city. Changes families. Changes the very eternal destiny of many people. And the city is turned around. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Wow. I skipped a little portion of that scripture, and we're going to finish it with this. First of all, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, do you realize that there's a God in heaven who, just as he did 2,000 years ago, has turned himself aside and stopped to meet you here at the well today. And the conversation that he wants to have with you is not about water, but about living water. And if you will let that God speak to your heart today, this day could go from ordinary to extraordinary as you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. As you recognize that the water that he offers is wonderful and of great value, and that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that he is the Savior of the world, as they say here. But as Christians, we can learn something else. Go back up, if you would, please, to verse 33. Therefore, the disciples said one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat... He said, I have meat, you know, not thereof. Now in verse 34, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now listen to this. To do the will of him that sent me. Now who is sent? So in this particular aspect is Christ, but who's sent in this room? So send I you, Jesus said, right? And the meat or the satisfaction, the fulfillment that Jesus gets is to do the will of the Father. He needs no other satisfaction but to do the will of the Father. But let's keep going. Say ye not, verse 35, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Here's the only thing, folks, that we have to convince ourselves as Christians, and that is that someone that we pass by this week will spend eternity somewhere. Someone that we pass by this week does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and will die and go to hell because we were too busy to take an ordinary opportunity and turn it into something extraordinary. Do you know what Jesus had to do to make this happen? He had to stop his life for just a little bit, sit down, and have a conversation. Hard to do in the United States of America, I know. We are like on steroids. We run around constantly, every day. But this is what God's called us to do. Will we look for that? Listen, I'm going to try to sing you a song. I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to do it anyway, Miss Debbie, so just get over it. There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as we hear the Savior cry. Now listen, that's what I do envision Southeast Baptist. We love to get together. There's hardly a church in America that loves each other more than this church does. And if we could stay here 7 days a week, most of us would, because there's just such a joy in the presence of the Lord. But it's not our job on this side of eternity to merely fellowship. It's not. Listen to what the Savior says. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around his table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. You're going to have an opportunity this week to take something ordinary, and by the power of God working through our lives, turn it into the extraordinary if we'll only look for it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.